Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Salita, your host on Through the Eyes of the Black Woman, sponsored by the Say Your Peace Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. And as you know, this week or this month, we are celebrating Women History Month. And tonight we will be talking with Miss Nanette, author Nanette M. Buchanan. Am I saying that right?
You sure are.
Okay. How are you tonight, ma'am?
I'm fine. How are you?
All right. I am so sorry. I thought I sent you all the information, and I just not too long ago walked in the door, and I looked at my email and said, let me make sure I got everything right. And I was like, oh, my God, I didn't send her the number. So I'm glad you got it in time. I want to say thank you. I want to welcome you to the show tonight, and I know we're going to have a great time. And first, I want all my listeners out there to let you tell us about who you are, and talk about your books, and then we'll
okay.
get into the book.
Okay? Not a problem. Not a problem at all. My name is Nanette Buchanan, and I am an author. I've been writing now since my college years. I started out doing poetry some 30-plus ago, and developed into, from being a hobby into being something that I really enjoyed, more of a relaxing moment for myself. But I found that I really enjoyed not only writing the poetry, but speaking it, so I did some open mics. I was actually looking at doing children's stories, which I've written a couple of those. Didn't publish any of those yet. But I did have a moment of, hey, what about a novel? So I started in 2007 with my first published novel, and I've been going ever since. So I am now releasing my seventh novel, which is the novel that we'll be discussing tonight.
Okay. What? So are you a self-publisher, or do you have you signed a publishing company?
I am self-published, and I've started my company. My company is iPen Designs. It started out with my poetry, doing poetry special gifts. For example, I might do a poem for you and your mom, maybe with a picture of you as a child and your mom with you, and put the poem on top of the picture, something to depict something special to the person, you know, who orders it, and something special to the person that receives it. So from that, I just named it iPen Designs because it was different designs that we did with that in mind, which also highlighted some of my poetry and some of the talent that I had in writing. And I just took that as part of it and then used the division as iPen Books. So I've been publishing my own books ever since then.
Okay, so you haven't picked up anyone just yet?
No, I could say that I helped a few people, but not anyone full-time. Not anyone full-time, no, as of yet.
Okay, I'm looking at this website, you guys. That's why I'm like, it's awesome. Did an excellent job on it. It's gorgeous. I love
Thank you.
Okay, now let us discuss Scattered Pieces. I love the cover of your book. It is awesome. It's like she's walking and the wind is behind her. It looks like something that, you know, you can actually put a poem to.
It's actually a novel. It is, as a matter of fact, it's in printing as we speak. I can't wait. I'm really excited about it. As I said, it's my seventh novel that I've come out with. It actually started out as a short story. It was my first attempt as a short story, and I submitted it to Essence for one of their Essence short story contests, and it kept nudging at me and nudging at me and nudging at me to be finished, to be a finished piece. So I went back after I had a few that I had done. I went back and said, you know what, I'm going to write that one now. So I just finished it off and put it out there. It's a story that will overwhelm people. I like writing about the what ifs. I don't like to have the stories where you can actually say, well, you know what, this is what everyone does or this is how everyone does. Because we all, when we discuss different things, be it gossip, be it bad news, good news, we all say, well, what if such and such had happened? Or what if they had made a turn for something else? And in this novel, the main character, Janet Robinson, is going through some tough times. She's having a tough time with an ex-husband, losing the love that she thought she was going to have for a lifetime, trying to raise her children by herself, not being in the working world for, the years that she was a stay-at-home mom, and now trying to get it all together has become overwhelming to her. And she just wants to take a break. And in taking the break, she accidentally has an overdose. And she now has to recapture her spirit, her character, and everything else, and prove to people that I really didn't want to kill myself. I just had that moment where I wanted to step outside of the world and just take a break. And we've all had those moments. We've all had those moments where we want to just get off and just stand still for a minute. And you can't. You can't.
Yeah.
You really don't. And not only that, you're scared. You know, if I do, will I come back? And in this case, she has to fight her way back. And, of course, in fighting her way back, her husband, as well as a few others in the book, are really challenging her you know, innermost character.
Yeah.
And she has to prove that she has more stamina than they think she has.
Oh, man. So let's talk about your character. This is a question I ask all the authors I interview. Your character development, how did you come up with your characters, and what type of technique you use to create the characters that you use in your stories?
Well, normally I come up with the person that has the problem, the person that I really want to see be able to make it. And I usually come up with, like I said, a situation that asks the what-if question. This book is about a woman who has this problem and this dilemma. But a couple of my other novels that I've had prior did include men that had, you know, issues or a little what we want to call drama in their life, and they want some solutions, which I believe all characters or all people do want. Even though they have the drama in their life, they're in search of some type of solace. They don't want to be in the midst of drama all the time. So I usually take that to drum up the first character. What do I want this character to be? How do I want this character to feel? How do most people look at these type people? How do they, evaluate them? How do they, think of them when they want to approach them? And that's how I develop my other characters. What other characters would be their friend? What other characters would be their enemies? What other characters would want to be them? Because I think in life we all have those characters. We don't even have to put a name to them, but we can all point to who our friends are, who may be looking right behind us saying, oh, well, I wish I was her, the jealousy friends. We all have those characters, and that's how I begin to build the characters around them.
Okay. Now, what are the names? Do we have the names of the characters?
Yes, we have the names. Janet Robinson, as I said, is the lead character in the book. And the antagonist is her husband, Marcus. He has all kind of things going on. He is the antagonist in the book. He is the one that keeps the drama going, because now that he found that she's going through what she's going through, it's a way of him taking charge. And we all have that character in our life that just feels like they can walk in on you and just automatically take over. And this is the type of character he is. We also meet her sister, Faye, who, for no other reason but being her sister, wants to be the one that she can come to, the one that she can confide in. We have the shining, what we call the knight in shiny armor, or the one who comes in on the white horse to save the day. We have him as well, and his name is Richard Bennett. He comes in, and he wants to rescue her in some ways, but he's uncertain of how does he do this. If she's that fragile, what can he add that may not break her? So she has people that are in her life that are surrounding her that are coming at her from all ends.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's right, because you said earlier that she's divorced from her husband.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Not divorced, separated. She's separated from her husband.
Separated, okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you said that, I was like, wait a minute, where's Richard? Okay, where's Richard? I thought she has a husband. But she's trying to move on with her life.
She's trying to move on. And this takes place 2 years after her husband has already left the home. He's not in the home anymore, and this is a problem that comes 2 years after.
So tell me this. So what is overwhelming her? What has gotten her to the point where...
Love. She can't move on. She's stuck in love and stuck in the point that her husband no longer is there.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer there for her. He's no longer there to save her when she makes mistakes. He's no longer there to do everything that he was doing for her. And we all know that in some cases when you're in love, you're in mm-hmm. so deep you forget all about your feelings. You forget all about what makes you feel good. And you sometimes surrender and allow the person you're in love with to have control over more than just the blanket of being in love. They have control over your entire, your entire being. And that's what she's now finding out, that he's gone, and he's gone for good. And what should I do now? What do I do? I haven't done it in so long. I'm lost.
Exactly. And you know what? You're saying something that is so, so true. And they're not really fictional characters. Like you said earlier, they're real. Because there are women out there who get lost in their men. They get
mm-hmm.
lost in their husbands. They get lost in their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And when all of that kind of slowly but surely starts to open up and it's all open and, okay, and you look behind you, and there's nobody there, you don't know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So that certain things can happen to trigger all of that. And that's why I always tell a woman, never get to the point where you lose who you are. I don't care who you're with. If you're with Denzel Washington, still have you. Don't ever let anybody take that away from you. And we women, we get so desperate to be with somebody, we'll do that. And some of
exactly.
us do quicker than others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the bad thing about it is that what we don't understand is as they peel away the layers of who we are, we become raw. Become raw. And that's how we go back to back to back to back into these bad relationships. Regardless to if they're men, our family, our children. Sometimes we allow people to just use us. And it's because we've become raw. And we're tender. And all they have to do is show us a little bit of affection, and we assume that they are what we need. And we hold on to them like that is the last thing. Well, Janet Robertson is at wit's end. She doesn't know what to do anymore.
Man. Yes, you got a realistic character. Definitely. Some of that I hear me. And I don't like to, when I'm talking or interviewing, I don't like to always interject myself in it. But a lot of times you don't have another choice because that literally sounds, to a certain extent, like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea.
And the thing about it is that what thrills me all the time about not only this book but the other novels that I have is that it can touch people to the point that people say, you know what? If I hadn't have looked at things that way, I don't know if I would have been the same. If you know, if I had of just, you know, that was me years ago, and I had to look at myself the same way your character did. I had to do things a little differently because it opened my eyes to a few things. And that's what I hope my books do. I don't want to do it to cause the drama and the reality slap in the face. But what I mm-hmm. wanted to do is we read for leisure. We read for mm-hmm. entertainment. And we enjoy that. But when we pick up a encyclopedia or we look up on Wikipedia for different things, we also learn. We read to enjoy, but we also learn. And life is a learning experience. And the things that I write about are problems that exist in our communities, in our homes, in our realm of growing up and being people, the people that we are. And if we can't learn as we go along, how do we become better? If we can't embrace it, how do we not become better? I mean, it's okay to have the glamour and the bling and all of that other stuff, but underneath all of that is a baseline of reality. And I love to get the message out there. And in this case, it's a message that everyone that contemplates leaving does not always mean it. Everyone that wants to take a step away from their world does not always mean it to be permanent, nor does it mean because you take that step away that you are not worthy of being here.
Exactly. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and I definitely want to continue this conversation. This seems like it's a great book. I love the way you explained it. I mean, so much you can say about what you just said just now. But we're going to be back in just a few minutes. And this is Alita, and we have our featured guest tonight, who is Nanette Buchanan, the author of Scattered Pieces. And we'll return. And this is for all you women who feel that you're doing just this. I'm trying to get it to start. Okay, that one won't play for me. Okay, let's try this one.
That we've been through, you should understand me like I understand you. Now, baby, I know the difference between right and wrong. I ain't gonna do nothing to upset our happy home. Like children, when we argue about the fight, our own funny moves. I've got mine. Woman, you got yours too. Just trust in me like I trust in you. As long as we've been together, that should be so easy to do. Affair when we can't see
Have you thought about hosting your own radio show? If so, visit our website at sensible64.wix.com/sayyourpeacenetwork. That's sensible64.wix.com/sayyourpeace, P-I-E-C-E, network. You're listening to Through the Eyes of the Black Woman.
All right, you guys, we are back. Everything seems to be moving slow today, and I don't know why. Usually everything pops up like it's supposed to. Hold up.
I want to tell the story of our existence in our own worlds. I want others to know that we all have a story to tell about who we are and what we are about. We as women play a very important role in life. God has allowed us to bear the brunt and bruises of so much pain throughout the world, because he knew that we could survive through wars and injustices that have been geared toward us. He truly knew what he was doing when he created us. That is why they say we are the better half of the man. We as women need to take our place and stand tall, not wavering on who we are. We need not allow others to define us. We need...
Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. It stopped on its own. Okay. You guys, we are back on Say Your Peace Radio Network through the eyes of the Black woman with Mrs. Right? Mrs. Buchanan,
yes.
The author of Scattered Pieces. All right. Now, before we went to break, you were discussing how we're not ready to leave here when situations like this happen, and that we're worthy to be here. We just have to let everybody know that, hey, look, I'm not gone anywhere. I just need a break.
And a lot of times we don't speak up. We don't do venting. We don't, you know, especially when all that we thought we had is now gone.
Exactly.
You know, when you think about everything that you had, the bliss, the joy, the husband, the home, the children, and now you no longer have that. There's so many different things that we go through that create this whirl of bliss. When we lose it, we don't know what to do without it. We don't know how to return to anything else, and we're ashamed in a lot of ways to even say to our friends, our family, or anyone that, hey, I need some help with this. I need to be able to get over this. And unlike what most think, most people feel that people that commit suicides or people that attempt suicides actually mean to do it. And it's not. It's them wanting to be separated from the pain that they're going through. Mm-hmm. And in this case, she wasn't even looking for that type of separation. She just wanted the prelude to a good rest.
Mm-hmm.
When we're stressed, we don't rest well.
You
know, we don't eat well. We don't treat ourselves well. You know, we're irritable. And after going through that for months, she just wanted a break. And as it was written in the first part of the story that I turned in as a short story, it was that there were so many different things that were going on around her that she couldn't even see the peeps or the light between the blinds to say, hey, there's sunshine and there's more to this, and you've got blessings that are coming your way that you just have to get through this and you'll be okay. And sometimes we just can't see a way around it. We just can't hold on to it. And that becomes our issue. That becomes our problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you said something that was very key, and I want to make sure I'm not saying this in a way that, you know, that this could never happen to me, or that, you know, I've never gone through this, and how dare me say this. But do you think sometimes we get kind of delusional with this fairy tale relationship, this knight in shining armor, like you said?
Yes.
And we get so lost in the fairy tale that we're not watching the Wicked Witch coming around the corner. We're not
exactly
watching the Hobbit trying to kick you in the shins because you're so up there. Do you think we need to, and I'm not saying all marriages don't last forever. You have people who've been married for years and years. But should we set ourselves up? I guess it kind of goes a little bit deeper than that. But we always set ourselves up for, you know, if this doesn't work out, how am I going to handle myself?
Exactly. Well, not only that, if this doesn't work out, how am I going to survive?
Yeah, how am I going to survive?
It's not even how am I going to handle it. It's how am I going to survive. In other words, without this key element in my life, there's no reason for me to be.
Exactly.
And that's not true. And that's what we've got to teach our young men. That's what we've got to teach our young women. Because it's not just women that go through it. Men go through it as well. It's the emotional heartbreak or the emotional deterioration that causes this the problem. And a lot of times, especially when it's love-based, we're not talking about people that have the other issues, you know, financial issues and everything. When it's love-based, when you leave a home where you've been nurtured and loved, and you go into a marriage where you're nurtured and loved, and then you get hit with the brick of he's no longer there,
mm-hmm.
or she's no longer there, or they love someone else,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and they've stepped out. This is something that's so devastating because we don't know it. If I've had love all my life, now you can go back to the same situation and you've never been loved, never felt it, and then found someone that just overwhelmed you with love. And now they step off or they're no longer there. These are two equations that no matter what way you look at it, the person is going to go through a bit of, why me?
Yeah.
Woe is me.
Yes. Yes.
What am I going to do? And especially when you have someone, as my character is, someone who never had to take care of the home. All she had to do was make sure the dinner was ready, make sure the children were taken care of, make sure the clothes were done. She gave up her career to begin a family. She gave up going to school and moving on to begin a family and was promised that once we get the kids going and everybody's in school, you can go back to school. But never got to that point. Well, now what do I do? How do I do? And we've got to teach our young adults that there's more in life than worrying about what someone else puts you on a pedestal to be.
Yes, and I blame a lot of that on society, and I blame it on the parents not teaching them. See, I think it's like a trickle-down effect.
Mm-hmm.
You have two families because you have the husband, you have the dad, and you have the mother. You see the mother's side of the family, da-da-da-da-da. You see the father's side of the family. And we don't realize that it affects our children. We do not see that no matter what type of family we come from, it affects our children.
Mm-hmm.
Some way, shape, form, or fashion, our personalities that we got from our family spills over into our children. And our children don't know the difference, and we have to teach them this, but we don't know because nobody taught
us
that.
And you know what? Even, Even in my raising my children and me having just the thought process that I've always had, which I don't think, like you said, I grew up in a time where parents didn't even talk to you about family living and family, you know.
Yes.
You just grew
yes.
up as a child and you obeyed as a child and you did what you had to do as a child. You didn't get
yes.
an opportunity to sit down and have family night or family time where you talked about whatever your issue might have been during that week. There was no issue. You're a kid. How could you possibly have an issue?
Yeah.
You know, that's the era that I grew up in. But the thing about it is I always grew up with the thought that I knew about divorce. I knew about separations. I knew people that were being raised by single parents. I knew people that were being raised by adoptive parents. So those households existed for me. And even though I grew up with the thought in mind of the happily ever after, I knew of the possibilities. Because I was raised around kids that lived in those possibilities. I was raised, luckily, with two parents, but I knew people that were raised with one or raised by their grandmother or raised by a foster mother or you know, an older brother or older sister. So there was always the possibilities that existed. Two things I always lived with in my mind were happily ever after comes in fairy tales. No real book that you read says at the end, happily ever after.
Yes, sir, that's right. That's
happily
right.
ever after is in fairy tales. And we don't know what that ever after is because the back of the cover closes it off to you. You don't know what that happily ever after is. The second thing is that I've always believed in, it doesn't have to be another woman. It doesn't have to be another liking for your husband or for your wife. It doesn't have to be that you don't get along. It could very well be that you wake up one morning and they're no longer breathing. So with that being a possibility, you have to prepare yourself for what about the possibilities? What about the fact that my husband, God forbid, passed away? What will I do? How do I prepare myself? How do I prepare my children? How do I prepare my being to be able to live on beyond that? Well, one of the things is just knowing that it's a possibility.
Exactly.
And we never learned those possibilities. We only knew what our parents told us. We weren't told about the possibilities. We weren't told about the fact that you may be unemployed because you didn't work for a certain amount of years. You stayed home and you didn't work. So when you get up to go and get a job, you might not be able to get that job.
Yeah, exactly, because you don't have the skills.
You don't have the skills. You don't have the mindset. So these are things that we have to instill in our children. If you don't work hard at something, you may not ever be the best at it. You know, these are the things that we have to instill. And these characters that I create in my fiction and in my writing and in my leisure, even with my poetry, I like to touch a bit of reality. Because without a dose of reality, how do we live?
Exactly. So how do you prepare? I don't know if you can say prepare. But how do you teach that to your children or to kids, to groups of women, men, whatever? How do you teach them that, hold up, you guys, I know you love the big, beautiful wedding and all family and friends and all that, but what if that, like you said, one day you wake up and say, you know what, am I really happy with this?
Exactly.
What do you do? How do you prepare not only yourself, because once you make a decision in your mind, and whether it's a right or wrong decision, you've made that decision. Whether you go through it, if that's where the ever after comes in. That's where the result of the decision comes in. That's where the action of the decision you made. Once you've made that decision and you take the step to do it, when you look back, how do you handle the, what if I go back? Mm-hmm. How are they going to react if I go back? And you know another thing, too? We worry so much about what everybody else is
saying. And everybody else is
saying.
Right. Everybody else value. Everybody. And,
yes.
And the way that I did it in raising my children, the way that I did it was I never wanted them to see the unreal. I wanted them to embrace reality. Let's embrace what's real. Let's understand, like I said, the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Let's embrace what could happen, and then
mm-hmm.
let's work towards what we want to happen. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have to consciously do that. We have to consciously be about the fact that if there's a possibility that you could step off that curb and the light change and the person doesn't stop.
Exactly.
So what you have to do is when you get to that curb, be aware that you are getting ready to step off that curb. Be aware
exactly.
that you might be smacked with a dose of reality that knocks you off your feet.
Mm-hmm.
We have to prepare ourselves for that. And in doing it with love, you know, love is such a tender thing. It's
mm-hmm.
it's not supposed to hurt. It's not supposed to be something that keeps you on guard. You're not
exactly.
supposed to always be looking for the negative in it. You're not supposed
mm-hmm.
to always be thinking about what if. It's supposed
mm-hmm.
to flow. It's supposed to be something that is as natural as you breathing. Once you're committed to someone, this should be how you are. But it's not. And the reason that it's not is because you can only control your heart.
Exactly.
You can't control the
them.
Heart of someone else. And in
exactly.
knowing that, I think that that's what helps us to understand how relationships are.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless to the title of the person, it doesn't matter, you know, because the first thing people say is, well, that's your husband. Just because the word husband is there does not mean that their heart is there.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, and if you think about it, it goes real deep when we get into one-on-one relationships. There are people
mm-hmm.
that just don't have that attachment. They have the name, but they don't have
mm-hmm.
the attachment.
Mm-hmm.
They never were committed. Their purpose was not to get married out of love. Their purpose might have been able to get married because of, like you said, how people would value them.
Exactly.
The security
you know,
that they get.
Exactly. And it's a comfort zone. I'm comfortable.
Exactly.
I'm comfortable.
And when I feel uncomfortable, I do uncomfortable things.
That's right. My husband, my wife.
Exactly.
And you take that and it's like a label, you know.
And some people just don't live up to the label. Some people
exactly.
just don't live up to what it is. And
exactly.
my whole thing in writing the book was to kind of turn it around. If you could stop someone from taking that leap
mm-hmm.
and saying, go back and look at what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is that's what she had to do because she was almost stripped of everything. The only thing she had left was her children. And
mm-hmm.
we all know that in the real world, when you are thought to be suicidal, they come in with child services.
Yeah.
They come in with social services. They come in with the doctors that think you're crazy. They come in with all of these different people that now have the right to step in your world and tell you what your world was.
Yeah.
And the thing is that she's not weakened to the point of allowing people to tell her what her world was. She's
mm-hmm.
not that weak. So her thing is to try to convince these people that, listen, I'm not that weak woman that you think I am. I was
mm-hmm.
a woman that needed a break.
Mm-hmm.
I was a woman that needed to be able to confide in someone what
mm-hmm.
was going on in my life without being judged, without
mm-hmm.
being ridiculed, without
mm-hmm.
feeling like I was lesser than less.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the story is about. Because I really believe that a lot of us go through that. I believe that if you're going through a divorce, you're going through that.
Yeah.
If you're going
yeah.
through a separation, you're going through that. Heck,
yeah.
if you're going through a breakup with a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a significant other, you're going
mm-hmm.
through that.
Mm-hmm.
Reevaluating
exactly.
yourself and trying to figure out, well, where do I rate? If
mm-hmm.
I've been with this person for this many years and they walked off, where do I rate?
Mm-hmm.
How do I rate with my family? How do I rate with my kids? How do I rate with the people that I talk to on a daily basis?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I? You lose your purpose.
Yep, you lose yourself, you lose your purpose, and you become anybody that you're around. You blend in with them. You're
exactly.
Like them.
And you take on personalities that aren't yours.
Exactly.
You take on habits of others. You know, hey, the girls are hanging out, you try to hang out. The girls are drinking, you try to drink. You know, you start doing things that you're not used to doing, or you seclude yourself and don't want to be around anybody.
Yep.
So these are the things that I wanted to touch bases on in this book. You know, throwing different things out there, the different things that may come across as, well, you know, that's kind of harsh, but this is what reality is.
Yeah, it is. And it's amazing that, like I said, I'm loving the way. Did you take psychology in college or something?
Did I take what?
Psychology.
No. I actually work in the Department of Corrections, so that's my psychology.
Yes, I know. I did that too. I know exactly what you're talking about. That is a great, that's therapy.
Exactly.
You can teach some stuff. I know. I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying that because you're very, the way you talk, you're very well, how do you say that? You can explain the psychology of it, of love.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you did. And how we connect with love. And that's why I was asking you earlier, the delusional part of it. Why do we think, I think, I have to, and I always have to go back to me. I can't talk about too much about other people, but I can relate what you're saying to me. When it came to the idea that I got married, I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, I committed myself to somebody. Oh, my God, what? And
how deep is this going to be? How much of me am I going to have to give up?
Yes. The first thing my girlfriend, I told her, she said, who in the hell, this is exactly what she said, who in the hell is going to marry your mean ass? Because that's how,
exactly.
Exactly. How they saw me, low tolerance for bullcrap, point blank. I'm not going through all this drama. I'm not going to do it if I don't want to do it. You can't just walk away. And that's the whole point of being married. You can walk away, but you have to want to work something out. Because after a while, whether you want to admit it or not, that person and you, you can become one. Even though you don't want to, you do. And you don't
exactly.
want things to change.
Exactly.
You don't want the weather to be a storm. You want it to always have
you want it to be pleasant. That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
It doesn't always. And the reality is it's never like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how much people brag about how wonderful their marriages is. I don't care. Reality is, like you said, the what if. The reality is, no, they argue. They fight.
Exactly.
They stop talking to each other. One might fool around. The other one might pick up another bad habit.
Exactly.
And if we could just put ourselves in that position and to understand,
understand that there are also those that outgrow each other.
Each other, that's right.
There's also those that when they got married, they knew they were on different levels from each other. They knew that, hey, you know what? This is not... He's not as educated as me.
Exactly.
He doesn't have the drive that I have.
Exactly.
He doesn't have the confidence that I have. So you have one that teeters and totters, and you have one that's overzealous about everything that they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you these are the things that we go through. And then when you get into the meat of the marriage, there's such a big gap difference between the two that it's obvious. It becomes obvious.
Yeah, and it's being seen. You can see
And it's being seen more and more.
Yeah.
People can see it as you get used to that husband-wife routine. People see it, and now it's getting on your nerves that there's a difference.
Yeah.
How do you resolve it? What do you do? He doesn't want to compromise anymore. He wants to do just what he wants to do.
Yeah, well.
All the glory of it, and I used to tell this to young ladies all the time, that, you know, when he comes to pick you up for that first date, he's dressed up just like you are. When he comes to pick you up for the second date, he has the manners just like you do. But when you've been on the 1800 date, you begin to see some things that you didn't see on date number one.
There's some cracks in the wall somewhere.
You know, you begin to look at it and you go, wait a minute. Where did that come from?
Yes,
and then if
yes.
you think about it, you can go almost back to date number 22 when you saw signs of it.
Yeah.
And you didn't speak about it.
Yeah.
But now it's really getting to be irritating.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that they go through. Show me a couple that's been married 50 years, and I'll tell you that couple has been on the roller coaster of life.
Yeah. There's been probably separated 3 or 4 times in them 50 years.
You know? But now they understand each other.
Yeah.
And the willingness to be together is there from the start. But now they really understand each other. But then, just like you have those, you have the other ones. I love the line that, you know, a lot of men say when they say, I have to go find myself. And while they're off finding themselves, you're supposed to be sitting back waiting for them to come back.
Exactly. You're waiting on them to get their self together. In the meantime,
your life is just supposed to be a standstill. You're not supposed to be going anywhere. You know, in the meantime, you're waiting to find out whether or not they're going to come back. But come back to what? If they're going to find themselves, they're coming back as a changed person. Now, who are they coming back to? Who are they coming back to? Are you going to change, or are you going to be the same person that you were when they left?
I'm going to be the same person. And I'm just giving you a scenario. That's
exactly.
And so, again, what he does, he gets up and he leaves again.
Because now he's looking at it saying, oh, you're not who I thought you were.
Exactly.
And this is
right.
what happens. The same thing when you have the marriages where the woman is making more money than the man.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got the problem there. The insecurities.
Yeah.
I can't be secure if you're making the money. Well, what about if you're making the money? I can't be secure. You know? So these are the issues and these are the things that could be anybody's story.
Exactly.
And I think that's what I love about the way I've developed into writing has been that any story that I write can be anybody's story. Doesn't matter about your ethnicity. Doesn't matter about your religious background or your sexual preference. It doesn't matter. These stories could fit anybody because of the simple fact that it's real and it happens.
But you give a person something to think about. But a lot of times, even when you're doing that, lessons are being learned, but are we taking that learned lesson and applying it to the situation that it belongs to?
I would say a lot of times we don't. For the most part, I would say that there are some people that, you know how they say you touch the fire once and you know that you're getting burned and you leave it alone? Well, there's quite a few people that say, you know what, that burn wasn't enough for me not to touch it again. And they tempt themselves to get closer to the heat and closer to the heat until they feel it, you know, scorch a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they maybe they think about it a little bit more. But I think that there are people that the first time doesn't do them. And the bad thing about it is the lessons that we have in life, the things that we're given in life, we're given those lessons so that we do change.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it from a philosophical way, if you look at it from, you know, the way of, you know, those people that say there's an omen in the air or the aura in the air is this, that, or the other, the same problems will confront you in different manners over and over again until you get it.
Yeah, until you get it.
Until you get it. You know, you'll leave that cheating husband, and you won't be with him anymore, but the next time you get has drama in his background with another woman, too.
Yeah.
Because you still haven't gotten the lesson. You didn't learn that lesson.
No, you're going to get another relationship just like that.
The other relationship is – and then what do we say? How come I always wind up with the same problem? I always wind up with the same type guy. Because you didn't walk away from the guy. You're still looking for the same things are still attracting you.
That's right.
The same things are still getting your attention.
Exactly.
You shouldn't have the attention of this guy who's got a girl on his arm, you know, or trying to slide a number to you while he's walking
exactly.
by. When you let the same things attract you, you get the same results.
Exactly.
And
you
don't learn that.
A man, to me, I'm lonely. And, well, he has a girlfriend. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's drama. That's
mm-hmm.
drama. Because you
and we bring it to that. Ourselves. You bring it to yourself.
Some women love it. Some women
and especially nowadays with all the baby mama drama and all the that was my man before he was your man and I have his son and you have his daughter and I'm not going to let him talk to him and I don't want you. Come on. Enough. When you get to be 40 years old, you don't want to hear that baby mama drama. It was cute when you were 20, you know. It was something that you dealt with then. But when you get to be 40 years old and the kids are now teenagers and they don't really need the mama daddy thing with them all the time and they're going to be in their own, your next guy that you meet, you don't want him to have three kids by three different mamas. You don't want that. Been there, done that, tired of it, you know?
Yeah.
So these are the things that we have to step out of and look at seriously. And how much more serious can it be than with an intimate book in your hand that
exactly.
you're reading by yourself? You don't need your girlfriend's approval. You're reading about somebody that you don't even know, a character that reminds you of yourself or someone else. And you can sit and rationalize by yourself how much of this is pertaining to me, how much of this I see in me, or how much of this I see in others that I should be looking at in a different light.
Exactly.
Because this may very well be going on in their life. And how much danger may they be in? Because I'm not going to say that she wasn't in danger.
That's
it's
right.
just that she was saved by a blessing.
Right.
And initially, my title was going to be Blanket of Blessings. But I said that would draw in only a certain amount of people.
Exactly. I know.
Because they would take the title and assume it was something entirely different.
Exactly.
Because, you know, we do that. We look at titles and just say, oh, I don't want to read that. You know, we look at pictures and go, oh, no, I don't want to read that. You know, so I didn't want it to reflect much on the blessings and what we have that we don't always know we have.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and that's the reason for the cover being the way that it is. She's in a daze. She's walking away from something, but the blanket is there or the scarf is there. To just, you know, show that she's enwrapped, but she doesn't realize it. She doesn't realize it.
Yeah, I think this is a great book. So what I want you to do is I want you to tell us how can we get a copy of the book? Where can we get all your other – you have several books you've written. How can we get a copy of your other books also?
All my books are on Amazon, of course, and Barnes & Noble. You can get them in Kindle version as well as paperback. They're also available on my website, www.ipen, as the ink pen, P-E-N, designs.net. You can go right there and get them. If you want an autographed copy, I would suggest that that's what you do. You go to ipendesigns.net, and you can get an autographed copy. I'll send it right out to you. Like I said, they're all in Kindle. They're all in Nook. And they're also on Smashwords for those that have Sonys and iPads. They're in Smashwords for, you know, Smashwords does other e-reader formats other than Kindle and Nook. So you can go to Smashwords and get them there. I do book signings. I do chats. I'm available. If book clubs want to have me come out, I'm more than happy. Because I love discussing the books, like I said, because they're not fiction that's made up in my mind. It is fiction that I create. However, it's fiction that we've created already. It's,
already,
you know, it's life living fiction. And any of my books that you pick up have a substance of something that is attached to what we live every day.
Man. Yeah, I love the way you, I'm serious, I just, you can talk to me forever. I mean, you make it sound so, I mean, you have to read this book, and you're saying it's so eloquent. That's the word I want to use.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you so much.
And
author.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having
Great
me.
Great conversation. And now you tell anybody who wants to listen to the show, you can go back and listen to the show anytime you want. You can post the show up even if you want to on your website. Okay.
And it would be available
soon
when?
As we get off, actually.
Oh, okay. Great,
yeah,
great.
We finish. It records, and you can send somebody. Matter of fact, one of my authors I just saw on Facebook where she sent somebody to go listen to us when we did our interviews. So you can take
oh,
it
okay.
up on time. So again, this is Nanette Buchanan. Where are you from?
I'm from Somerset, New Jersey.
Oh, you're from New Jersey. Okay. She is the author of Scattered Pieces. Sounds like a great book. I read the excerpt right here, and you guys, you need to go out, check this book out. Check all her books out, actually. I really want to bring you back. Do you have another upcoming book coming up?
I'm doing a collaboration of poetry with 13 poets that we do 12 different topics. That's coming out in another 2 weeks or so.
Oh.
And you can have me on at any time because we can discuss any of the books.
I'm looking.
Yeah, we can discuss any of the books anytime because they're all, like I said, they are all related to reality of what we live.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind at all. I enjoy writing, I enjoy reading, and I especially enjoy talking about life issues that can make people, you know, change for the better, to, you know, for growth.
Thank you very much, Ms. Buchanan, and I definitely am going to bring you back, and we will be talking more because I think this is wonderful. I love the idea that you're using everyday lessons to actually teach in the reading. The entertainment becomes
mm-hmm.
a way of learning a lesson. It's applying the lesson that we have issues with.
Yes. And again, thank you for having me. I hope that, you know, we do form a bond where we can stay in touch. You know.
Definitely. Okay, well, I'm going to say goodnight to you. I want to thank you again.
Okay.
Listeners, like we said, we can get in contact her. We can visit her website, www.ipendesign.net. And we also can, if we want to contact you, we can contact you at ipendesigns@gmail.com.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm on Facebook.
Yes. And Facebook, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, thank you again. You have a nice evening. Have a nice weekend. Be safe, and God bless.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, you guys. That was author Nanette Buchanan, the author of Scattered Pieces. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Love the insight. Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome. Tomorrow we have Tisha Hill, same time, same bat channel. This is Say Your Piece. You only give me 90 seconds. This is the Say Your Piece Radio Network, and the name of our show is Through the Eyes of the Black Woman, and I am your host, Alita, and I shall see you guys tomorrow. Have a nice evening. Love you all, and good night. You guys, I can't get my clothes into play. Everything is slowing down. Oh, well. It didn't play. Oh, okay. I have some issues. All right, you guys. I want to say goodnight. I will see you tomorrow night. Tisha Hill is going to be up.
This has been another episode of Through the Eyes of the Black Woman with your host, Salida. We want to thank you for listening in and stay tuned.